Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about success. We ask the bigger questions. Questions like, why are we here? What is truth? What if reality is bigger than we've been taught? Because whether you're a person of faith or a skeptic or somewhere in between, at some point you've probably wondered if there's more. More to life, more to purpose, more to who we are. And today's guest has spent decades asking those questions, and he's not afraid to explore where they lead. Today we have Alan Gillanders, author, artist, lifelong student of consciousness, metaphysics, and spirituality, and someone who has spent decades exploring one question: what is truth? So, Alan, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. I guess just take us all back to the first moment in life, in your life, when you realized that the way you understood reality might not be the whole story. What happened?
So what happened as a child? I grew up in a Christian environment. I quite enjoyed that, going to church. I had nuns teaching me, and I did like the priests and the whole environment of a Christian family. But as I grew in my teenage years, lots of questions entered my mind, and I lived in the country, and I resonated well with all the animals in the bush, and I felt a great harmony amongst all that. But the questions were, there's something bigger than what I was being taught. Well, the church and the teachers couldn't actually give me those answers. So I thought, what do I do? So I kept thinking and imagining, and I suppose I was meditating without really knowing I was meditating. And a few things happened, and I thought, oh, they're unreal coincidences. But the more and more we go through life, I think, am I lucky? Anyway, I went through a situation in my 20s where I wasn't that happy in the relationship with my ex-wife. So I had a chat to her about it. And tried to be honest, and I had kids and things. And to cut a long story short, she didn't change anything, but she understood, like we were talking, and it just didn't work out. So I felt I was trapped because you can't divorce in a Catholic marriage. Well, that's what the church tells you shouldn't do. And I like to stay strong with that. And I thought, I feel like I'm in a prison sentence because life was not going as a harmonious, happy relationship. So I thought, well, why doesn't God help me? God helps everyone in the world. Prayers are answered everywhere. And this is just talking about Christian faith. So I thought, well, what is God? Church doesn't tell me. So I thought, I have to ask God. So one day I was unhappy. I said, God, I'm in a prison sentence for the next 8 years till my children grow up. What are you? You don't answer my questions, but you answer other people's prayers. I need an answer. So at that moment, I was driving my car and my wedding ring exploded off my finger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a ooh-wah. I pulled over the side of the road and I picked the pieces up off the wheel of four-wheel of the car where my feet were and held them in my hand. And I thought, how can a ring do that? Explode outwards. And I thought, well, something at that moment was listening to me and it's not a physical being. So I have to go down this path. I knew that was the answer. That my marriage is over, you need to move on. Where do I start? There's no books, there's no nothing, there's no internet. So I studied some Eastern philosophy and found Hinduism, Buddhism. Eventually, I went to India, met some spiritual teachers, saw some miraculous miracles, and I thought, these are the same as what Jesus is teaching us 2,000 years ago. So I studied all that. And found that Jesus did go through Asia studying these things and brought them back to the Christian world. But so then I went to the ancient Egypt and studied Hermetic philosophy, and most of them are all teaching the same things. So then I started resonating and understanding that we are altering and creating everything. So the truth of what I came to was that we are the creators of our own destiny. And our own, wherever we are in life now, has been our result of what we're thinking about and doing. So then I understood that perhaps I can create things like I've seen these Sufis and other spiritual teachers do. I wish I could create like them. So in India, I saw these things happening and I went back to Perth and joined some Hindu groups and did some meditation more. Then I had amazing out-of-body experience and I thought, now I know. The truth of everything, we aren't this physical body. We're just borrowing the body for this time as a human being experience. So I know that then we are the non-physical energy. Somehow we got into a physical body to enjoy life. The journey took me into quantum physics. So I found some basic understanding of the subatomic particles without being a physicist helped me understand that our thoughts create vibration and the vibration creates the field to change the particles. Pretty fascinating, but that's what I've
Yeah.
written about in my book. And so to prove that, I tested that out by asking the universe to provide things, and they did. So I'm not saying they, it's the energy that came back to me with the answers. And sometimes I was just overwhelmed with joy at how things worked out. Little bit of a brief background.
No, I think it is fascinating. It's a fascinating conversation. So after the decades of asking, what is truth? Is that your ultimate answer? Is just that we're not the meat suit, that we are spiritual beings, or is it that we are the creators, or is the truth, does it continue to evolve for you?
The truth continues always evolving because we are evolving human beings. But the basic truth is that we came here as non-physical into a physical being to have a physical experience. Because when you're non-physical, you are the energy of the universe. So in the subatomic particles, inside the electrons and neutrons and protons, we have the quarks. And inside the quarks, there's just string energy, which is vibrating frequencies. There's nothing solid. So that forms the electrons to make into the particles, the atoms, which form matter. So inside matter, there is nothing but vibrating frequency. So the entire universe permeates this whole energy of vibration. Even though you can't see anything and it looks like gigantic space, it forms together into matter, and then we see the matter. The matter is an illusion of what really is there, and that's what we are. We are the illusion of our really non-physical self. So our non-physical energy, we decided to come into the human being because the human being is the highest form of a physical being on this earth that understands that what reality is. We have that choice. The animals don't have that choice. They only know to eat and drink and hunt and sleep and procreate. But as humans, we have the ability to question and make decisions. But we don't look at the decisions that are really guiding us, which is what we're created by. So we look at the physical things, the five senses, because they give us the happiness of desire. If you take them away, what are we? Just a blob of flesh. So therefore, we need to still our mind and go inside and see that we are really connected to the divine universe. Therefore, we are the creators of everything that happens to us. The ultimate truth is we are here to enjoy a human experience. We're not going this human experience to die and go to heaven because that's where we came from, to come back into here to enjoy this life. So enjoy this life. Most people get a little bit bogged down with all their problems, unhappy jobs, unhappy relationships, whatever. And they're focusing on that physical thing, but the real essence is it's non-physical, and we should be just enjoying this because we're creating it.
I mean, I think that's such a message that I can resonate with, Alan, because I believe that. I believe that, we had this conversation with God. We knew we could come here and remember who we were, which is more than just the physical body. So I very much agree with that we are the co-creators of everything in our truth. And then I also see this where so many people are just really stuck in the meat suit and they aren't realizing that we are so much more than this. Why do you think that so many people are walking around and they're not asking the questions? They're not
The reason
realizing.
on that, I know what you're saying here, and I see that myself. And what I've come to understand is that for thousands of years, the leaders of societies and cultures and countries understand, basically, some of them do, that that is the power to control people. So they feed them a false prophecy and a guidance and dogma because that's how they keep wealthy. That's how the country works, by having slaves. We are in essence, slaves to the country and to the leaders of the governments by paying our taxes. So they need to keep us doing that by blinding us with false media and education So, and the churches do the same. They need us as slaves to pay the money, otherwise they don't have an existence. But if we understand that truth, we can branch out of that. But we are blinded by enjoyment of social media, toys like phones and computers that occupy us too much. If we still our mind and get into the silence, we can then hear what the message is coming to us. It's practically impossible to have a conversation while TV and ads are blasting at you because that's the program. And the program is there to program your mind subconsciously through the subliminal message. You can't think of what you really want while these things are going on. When you steal that mind from it, you then can start creating and think, I want this, I want that. I want to be healthy, I want to be wealthy, I want a better job. All those things can start creating. I've proven them over the years now how I can create things in my own life. And I thought it was mainly coincidence, but now I realize it's reality. And so that's why I've written it into a book to help people understand. Because when I was searching, there was no internet and I couldn't find any books. So I am like the living proof of experiences written in my book where the reader will say, hey, the author's talking about these miracles that happened. They're not just theory. So I hope that will help a lot of people.
No, I think it's a great message to get out just to bring people to that awareness. And you're so correct. I'm just being in the States, I watch it every day where we've become useful idiots with everything, with the food that we've chosen to trust to eat, even with our health care, even with everything. It's just this it's a huge thing to keep us enslaved. That's it. And I think a lot of things they've done to dumb us down and to separate us from our spirit, which, is little things like the stuff they put in our water, proof that it numbs down things in our brain. It is a wild, like we've become a social experiment to serve the
That's
people.
right. And the theories that people call conspiracy theories are generally the basis of understanding 6 months later when most of it becomes fact anyway. But at the time, people don't like to accept it. But there's only the five senses of a human being that we want to satisfy and desire. And if we weren't chasing those, you wouldn't be unhappy. So we're so occupied with that that we think that that's all there is to life. But I gave TV away 10 years ago and haven't watched TV since.
Love
I'm
that.
not saying that I'm 100% on that because sometimes my wife will say, sit down and watch TV with me and we watch a movie. But most of the time, I find it a little bit unenjoyable at the end. I think, well, that wasn't that good a movie and I wasted some of my time. But the rest of my life, I don't watch any TV when I'm working and when I'm away from work or anything. And that way, your mind then can understand what's going on. But if you don't have the time, the book will help people because they don't know where to start. And I think this is a great place to start by reading something from someone like myself as an example that shows you how you can do this. And then you can be happy every day because you're guided by your higher consciousness, which is connected to you. It can't be disconnected. The higher consciousness is the energy of the universe, which we would call God or Buddha or Allah or divine energy. Even for people that are non-religious and say, I don't believe in God, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in God because you're connected anyway, whether you like it or not. You can't be separated from it. Jesus spoke that in the Bible where he says, My God, my Father and I are one. Nobody knows the Father except the Son, and nobody knows the Son except the Father because they are connected. But until we understand with a higher consciousness, we may not realize that. So the higher consciousness is what we are in non-physical, and then when we become enlightened, we become aware of what we really are. So awareness is the awareness of consciousness. You're not consciousness of awareness because you're consciousness all the time, but you only become aware when you start realizing what you really are. Sounds confusing.
No, I mean, you're speaking perfectly, and I guess my frustration, I see frustration with people because they're not conscious and they're not aware. Like so many
That's so
people
true.
that I just am like, man, maybe you can't have both right now just to bring the consciousness and the awareness, but I think so many people are just sleepwalking, and
They
it's
don't know where to
frustrating.
start.
It's crazy to me because it's like a
The
waste of
amount
life,
of
right? Like you have no idea what joy
it
you could feel if you just wake
seems
back
like
up.
it. And I know, and I think what a waste of some people's lives when I see them so
Yes.
bogged down with something problems, some physical things in their life. It's not a problem. It's just a small challenge to get over. The guys I work with in the mining industry, they get bogged down with something going on. It's not working out. I said, it doesn't matter. It's not your problem. All we got to do is overcome it. We'll work through it.
Yeah.
And this is where people in life generally, they miss a train or a bus or running late for work or a meeting. They get too obsessed with it. Hey, it happened. So what? Just get over it. It's nothing in life. You're still alive.
Right.
You should be
And
happy for the simple things.
it's wild to me because there are so many people that are just like, one little thing happens and their whole day is ruined. And then the whole day turns into a week of just, I'm pissed off at the world. And I just think if you see the perspective of, everything's going to happen for us because we do have this incredible potential and we're just called here to remember that. So every day, just try to get a little better. And every day, have that perspective of like, I get to choose. I get to choose my mood for the entire day. I get to choose that.
That's
And
right.
then everybody else, you see them outsourcing to the phone. They outsource their
Yeah.
mood because that's the first thing they do in the morning is they pick that up, they scroll, and they're at the mercy of whatever the algorithm wants them to feel, which is usually fear. Very, very much keeps people rich. There's so much money in fear. Fear, anxious, compare, they keep you in comparison so that you can see everyone else is doing better than you. You're very far behind, so it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious trap. I love that you are on a mission to separate people from that. When we're talking
I
about,
am so much about that. Some engineers that I've gone to work with, the young guys, and they love the fact of what I've written in the book, and they want to get it when it comes out, which is about 2 months away now. And they said, "What's your goal in this, Alan? Is it to get money?" I said, "You know what? Money never entered my mind because I was desperately looking for answers in my teenage years and my 20s and never found them. I just want the whole world now to know the truth." Of all these different spiritual philosophies, all pointing to the same thing, whether they're written 2,000 years ago or 5,000 or hundreds of years ago, it's the same essence, the same truth that we are the creators and we do have the control. And that's where people think, well, that's fascinating. What do I do now? So that's why I've tried to help people understand that if you do this, you can start creating and seeing things. And when I've told guys I'm working with, they say, well, that happens to me too. It does. It happens to everyone, but
Everyone.
you don't realize it's happening. And when you understand how it happens, then you start thinking, hey, I did that. Well, maybe I'll do it again.
And I feel like you're spot on. Whether people are consciously aware of it or not, we're all creating. We're creating the reality. So if your
Yes.
focus is just like life is shit, everything's happening to me, nothing is fair, the world's out to get me. I mean, that is essentially what you create, and that's what you're going to wake up to tomorrow. And so whether you want to step into the awareness of like you are a co-creator, like you get to decide what you're everything right now. And I think that's the thing, people get stuck on that. They blame their past, they blame excuses, they blame their family, they blame whatever. And I'm like, no, right now, you individually, as you listen to this, get to decide who you want to be and what you want to create tomorrow. You get to do that. Like, that's an
You
incredibly
do.
powerful skill. It's that simple though, and people just overcomplicate it.
I know it is that simple, but it is complicated for a lot of people that this is something new to them. And when I was in India, one of the spiritual teachers there, he performed miracles, well, like you would see what Jesus would have done 2,000 years ago in front of your eyes. It was amazing. And the things that I learned there was that one of the things he said was that when you take a rose bush and it has buds all over it, and you put some water on it every day and sunlight, some of the buds will open. But you can't force the rest of the buds, no matter how much water and sunlight you put on them, they won't open. But given time, all the buds will open. And I thought, wow, that is so good. That is just people of the world. They're not ready, maybe in this entire lifetime, but they will all open their mind to see the truth of it all. And when you're saying that they blame things, yeah, they do. I mean, we've all done that. I've done that. And then you start realizing, well, maybe I should take responsibility that I probably created that and accept that. And then you start to move forward from there.
I love that. How important do you think, Ellen, that creativity, how important is it when you just to shape your human experience or your spiritual journey?
Well, it's important that you realize what you're creating so that you don't create bad things like sickness and illness and maybe a physical event that's not so good for you or your family. So it's important to keep that positive feeling and thought that I am happy, I am wealthy, I am the creator, I am whatever you're doing, I'm in a good job, a good relationship. I am is the words. It was written in the first part of the Bible in the book of Genesis. I am is the word, and the word was with God. Now we use God as a term, but there is no physical God. I know some people might not like that, but there isn't, and there's never been any proof. But God is the energy, and that goes to all beings, whether we're different religions, it doesn't matter. They have different names for them. It's just a name given to it. But there's no denying the proof that that energy heals because it's been done through South America through prayer healing, and people get miraculously healed through the power of prayer. Same things happen in India through meditation. It just happens that the energy is there and we need to just focus into it. So creating good things in your life also helps the rest of your family and your friends because you feel uplifted. It rubs off onto them. So I think creating is a wonderful thing because you do it in such a small way. It happens all the time. I went to an airport to get an airline ticket and I couldn't book the seat. So I asked the lady behind the counter, any chance of an aisle seat? She goes, oh no, you can't pick an aisle seat. She goes, the plane's all full. Oh, well, it doesn't really matter. I said, I thought I'd ask anyway. And she had this homely, motherly look about her face and she leaned over towards me. She said, do you know what? Sometimes on these flights, executives of companies send their executives somewhere else and they don't take the seat. You might be a lucky one. So I got on the plane and something resonated about the way she interacted with me as if she was telling me some hidden message. And I sat down and the plane's full except for the seat next to me, which was the aisle seat. And as we got closer to ready to close on the doors, I said to the other guy, I hope no one sits next to me because it's the only seat left in the plane. And then he goes, no one's going to sit next to you. They've just taken the manifest in. So that's it. It's full.
Nice.
Great. I moved to the aisle seat. So these little things are not just luck and coincidence because I see them happen over and over again. And you realize that your positive energy comes back always.
I love that. I have a question, Ellen. Personally, do you believe that purpose is discovered or do you believe it's created?
That's an interesting point because many times I've discovered things by reading and researching and meditation. I guess there is a point of both. So, as discovery of discovering the truth through books or lectures or seminars or videos, but then once you have that belief of discovery, then you can start creating. I don't think you can create the discovered methods until you understand them. So, yes, a discovery is first discovering what is truth, what you can do, how you can do that, and then you can create by putting those principles into practice.
I
So,
love that.
I've given in my book every chapter a little meditation exercise at the end to help people along with that. And if it's not enough, they can always contact me anyway.
Yeah. That's perfect. What do you think humanity is really searching for underneath all of the noise and all of the distractions?
They're definitely all searching for happiness because that's what we came here for, to enjoy a human experience. But 99.99% of all people don't realize that they are here to do that. They think, well, what is my plot in life? To get a good job, to have a good house and a good family, and at the end, you're going to die. So there was no point at all. Along the way, you may have enjoyed lots of things, money and happiness and family, but did you really enjoy it all? Or was it a struggle all the way? And some people just seemed like luck fell into their lap. And sometimes people are very happy of nothing. So I think that the journey is the most important part along the way. And to realize that's what I'm here for, to enjoy this journey. So when I see things that not so going as good in work environment, I think it's only a challenge. It's not a problem. It's just a challenge. And there's always an answer to every challenge. You just have to find it. And by thinking about it or asking the universe, it provides those answers. And I've proven that over and over again. Sometimes they happen instantly, and sometimes they'll be like talking to someone like yourself or your workmates. And then within 10 minutes or an hour, someone will say something and your mind will click. That was the thing I was looking for. That's how the universe will work. The energy will come through someone else or something because you wanted it. And that energy of the universe is you and has to respond to you and guide you all the way. It can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
What role does suffering actually play in the human experience?
It's part of the experience. So there's a bigger picture to all of this, apart from being that we're non-physical. We chose to come back into this physical being. So we choose the body and the family. But sometimes the part of the non-physical chooses to take on the karma that we've dished out an unhappy energy in the past life. Therefore, we have to suffer it in this life. And so you may have to suffer it the entire life. And everyone's going to think that poor person. And even that person's going to think, why do I get all this? And this is the karma part that no one can really come back from the dead and say, well, yeah, that was my karma in past life. But many spiritual people have done meditation and said, this is what your karma, it's the law has to come back on you. So law of cause and effect. And so these things in physical is cause and effect, but the law of karma is exactly the same in spiritual form, cause and effect. So therefore, yeah, we will have to endure some ups and downs in our life, and some people don't. So getting back to your original question on that, can you just repeat that part?
Just about what role suffering plays in the human
Yeah, so
experience,
the
I think.
suffering can be part of the karma, and it could be that our thoughts are not happy, and the I am is I don't deserve this. So you'll always create that. I am stuck with this person in my relationship that's not the best person. I am again is creating all the time. So part of that suffering is that. The other way thing is with the suffering is only way you're looking at it. So now if a person has an accident in a car, it is their fault they're at the right place at the right time when another car ran into them. It seems like suffering, but they both chose to be there at that time. And so they're both responsible for that, even though one person's going to say, I was the victim. You weren't the victim, you were the cause because you put yourself there at that particular time. So then we take another scenario where someone is beating up a person and everyone thinks, oh, that poor person is getting suffering. We don't know the full story. And the person is the aggressor, we feel angry towards them. But if you found another story, another side of the story, and we looked at it, that the person getting beaten up actually raped someone or a child and beat them, then you think,
Different
yes, that
perspective.
person beating them up is doing a good job. So it's in your vision. There's no good, there's no bad. There's an event happened. The event is what we place, good or bad, or positive or negative. It's only an event that happened. So let's say you're probably running out of time quickly, but let's say a piece of paper has a will on it from a father to his two kids. One of the kids decides to be a teenager and run off around the world and parties and takes drugs and lives
Crazy
a
life.
life of Riley. The other one stays on the farm and works hard and keeps the family business going for many, many years. One day the other son comes back and the father's will says, I'm leaving all my family, my funds and the farm to the one son that looked after me and kept the business going. The other son gets nothing. Now, the one that gets nothing on the day of the deathbed, he wants to destroy the paper so he'll get half. The other son wants to keep the paper because he keeps it all, and the other son doesn't deserve it. So in that scenario, one looks at a bit of paper that has no energy as being good, and one looks at it as being very bad. So it's only ever in your vision what you perceive it to be. There isn't any good or bad. I know it's hard when you see wars and people getting killed, but it's only in your vision. To a tree standing nearby, someone getting killed, it's just an event. I mean, it might sound callous, but I'm not taking judgment here, but everything is an event and it's the way you're looking at it. And until you understand what's really going on, we should become observers in life.
That's a great perspective. If someone listening right now feels disconnected from themselves, where do they start? Tell us about your book, what they can expect from it, where they can find it.
So I really, really hope that I've written it in simple forms because I do cover a little bit of basic quantum physics to understand the frequencies and vibration to help them understand how your mind works and how that affects the field. So my book is called The Sacred Hum of I Am because the two words I am is the creator and the creation. The hum is the vibration and the frequency. So it's a sacred, been around for thousands of years, and that sacred hum is the vibration that we all feel. Maybe not all of us straight away, but during over a period of time we might do. So the book's called The Sacred Hum of I Am, and you can find that on my website, www.alangalanders.com. Alan spelled Alan, and Gilanders virtually as it sounds, Gillanders. And you can email me or put a preference in for the book when it comes out, register an interest. So it'll be a couple of months away. So I asked the universe to provide me some way of promoting the book, and a song come to my head, and I wrote all the lyrics and the words in 2 days to promote the book because everything in the song come from the book, and that will be coming out in September too. So I'm hoping people will,
Fabulous.
if they pick up the book, that's a good place to start. There's many books, and I could mention like Bob Proctor and Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden. They're all great teachers. Louise Hay, they're all great teachers. They all have great things in them, and it's what you resonate with. I read lots that sometimes one stands out more than the rest. So I resonated well with Neville Goddard and Florence Scovel Sheehan. They resonated more to me, but someone else might resonate with me or something else. So I've
Joe
tried to fill
Dispenza
that.
is definitely who
Yeah,
I
I've
resonate
tried to
with.
fill that gap by putting my personal experiences in so
Love
that
that.
the reader will say, I like this guy, or they may not, but I'm hoping that, that will happen.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out. Alan, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not that you've spent decades studying consciousness, it's not the books, it's not the philosophy. What I think makes you special is that you never stopped being curious. Most people get really comfortable
Definitely.
with easy answers. You kept asking better questions, and you've dedicated your life to exploring the truth, not even to win arguments. That's apparent. You did this to understand yourself and your creator and the world around you. And whether people agree with
Yes.
every conclusion or not, I feel like you're here to remind us that wonder still matters, that curiosity matters, and that the search for truth is a journey worth taking. And the fact you're willing to share that personal experience to help other people come into that consciousness, to come into their awareness, I think that is a great gift. It is powerful. I think that makes you incredibly special. To everyone listening, you guys stop. Don't stop asking questions. Don't stop
That's
growing.
right.
Don't
Don't
stop
stop
looking for
asking
truth.
questions.
Whether your
Yes.
journey takes you through faith or science or pain or purpose, just keep searching, because sometimes the greatest transformation doesn't happen when you find all the answers. It happens when you're brave enough to ask the next question. So, as always, you guys, I call you to be curious and to be courageous, and remember that your mess is your message. Sometimes the questions that keep you awake at night become the very things that awaken your soul. If this episode speaks to you, please help me get it out for Alan. Share it with someone who loves conversations that make them think. And make sure you check the show notes for the links to the books and the song. And if you're ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Alan, thank you again so much for coming into the hot seat. This was a great conversation.
Thank you so much, Brendan. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.